once you're free to, you know, be whoever you want to be in the game, it helps you kind of sink into that character.
It's a cool way to be to, yeah, attract those like-minded people.
Something nerdy is going to happen, and we're going to make it cool, I think.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of what this segment that I'm now calling Floor Fridays, because I'm, you know, so many folks from the floor want to come on the show, which I'm really excited about because it was something that I enjoyed and I love to get a chance to talk about. So today I have with me Stephanie, who was one of my personal favorites from the floor, to talk about her experience. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, definitely. So you certainly had, you know, a good run on the show, you know, one of the better runs as far as all of the contestants that were on. And that all started with the defeat of Tom, which I had very conflicting feelings because I'm like, Tom's great. Like, I just, you know, I'm like, what, why? But like, if it had to be anyone, it you know, you were the person to do it. And I think it was, he seemed to feel similarly because you two developed somewhat of a friendship when you were on the floor.
Before we started filming, we had a day and a half to basically go do whatever we wanted in Dublin. We could go anywhere we wanted, no chaperones, no nothing. And some of us contestants formed little groups and we would go do stuff. So the very first day I was there, Tom was part of the group that I was like doing stuff with. We went to the Guinness Factory. We went to Temple Bar. We went all through the bars downtown. Fun story. We actually left Tom at the Guinness Factory accidentally. Sorry, Tom. And because he went to the bathroom, told one of the other people in the group. And I don't know, wires got crossed, messages got mixed, and we thought he was already outside or in a taxi, like waiting for us. So we go outside, we get in the taxi, we go to the next place, and we get a phone call from one of the producers to one of the other contestants. And she's like, hey, you guys left Tom at Guinness. So we got Tom's phone number from the production person and we found him. So we got Tom back. And then the next day we went to Dublin Castle and walked all through downtown Dublin. And we went to something called, it's called the Dead Museum or the Dead Zoo. The Dead Zoo. It's the Museum of Natural History in Dublin. And Tom was part of that group too. So I spent the whole first 2 days just hanging out with Tom, talking, getting to know him. So we were friends and then we got to stand right next to each other on the floor. So that friendship kept going and it was kind of like, it was super bittersweet to have to be the one to send him home, because going into the show, horror movies is the category I wanted. I asked for horror movies and they did not give it to me. So when Tom inherited horror movies, I knew that if I got randomized and he still had it, I had to battle in it because I knew that I could win. Like, it was one of those categories where I knew that I could, no matter who it was, I was going to go after it and I was going to take him down. So it could have been him. It could have been Lindsay. It could have been Dave. It could have been Kevin. It could have been Mark, anybody. And I would have gone after them. It just unfortunately turned out to be Tom.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, like, honestly, seeing your personality on the show, I wouldn't think horror movies. Yeah. That's something that Stephanie probably knows a lot about. I mean, what was it for you? Like, you just kind of, you know, grew up watching horror movies, or just a thing that you enjoy?
So actually, no, I did not do horror movies my entire childhood, my entire teenhood. I did not get into horror movies until I was in my 20s. I actually started working at a haunted house in Austin and just as an actress. And then I took over as the makeup artist. So I did special effects makeup in the haunt industry for like 8 years. On the side in Austin. In 2008, my haunt was ranked one of the best haunted attractions in the country by Lionsgate Films. And we were also featured on the Travel Channel for America's Greatest Haunts, including me and my work. So it has just been in my blood basically since 2004 was my first year, and I did it till 2017. So yeah, so I love it. And starting to work in the haunt and horror industry made me love the genre, and it has very, very has a very special place in my heart, and it very quickly became one of my absolute favorite genres. So I'm always looking for good new horror movies, and I watch every subgenre of horror there is as well.
That's pretty interesting. We actually have a couple of pretty high-ranked haunted houses or haunted attractions up here where I am in Indiana, but I am not into that stuff at all. I will go in there and I will run out the door screaming. So I'm glad that you enjoy that. It is definitely not my jam.
I have a lot of little nerdy quirks, and film and television is definitely my biggest, and I definitely have my diehard fandoms that I'm a part of.
Yeah, and I would think that helps at least to an extent on the show like The Floor, because so many of the categories are kind of more in that vein. Of course, there's some that aren't, but there are a lot that were. So it can kind of play to your strengths if you're very intelligent in like pop culture and things of that nature.
I agree. I also have kind of a leg up in a sense, because I also play bar trivia. And the bar trivia that I play is timed. The faster you answer, the more points you get. So when they told us that it's going to be timed and you have to answer as quick as possible, my brain is already used to working in that mode during quizzes in the bar in a public setting. So for me, I was just like, oh, okay, this is great. Like, I can do this. And it didn't freak me out as much as some of the other people on the show. So that was really, really nice and kind of a little, extra step up that I had.
Well, yeah, it's something that I've talked about with, the couple of contestants that I've had on so far, is that if you're not used to like answering something like that under pressure, or being like on a stage, kind of up there in front of people, it can be very intimidating, and you can't really judge what your reaction to that situation is going to be.
That's true. And, and I still got nervous, don't get me wrong. So there, and you can kind of tell when I was getting nervous, because when I would answer I wasn't shouting, but when I would answer, I would kind of get a little bit louder, because I was just like, okay, get to say it as fast as I can. Get it out. And so by getting it out faster, it came out a little bit louder and a little bit more harsh. It wasn't anything on purpose. It was just, that was how my nerves manifested themselves.
That's very different for different people. And I think we kind of saw that throughout the course of the show. Now, I, because you had such a run and did so many duels, I'm curious, out of all the duels that you did, which one did you personally find the most challenging?
Birds. So, fun story. I was terrified that birds was going to be the category they were going to give me, because when I was in the casting process during my, because I did one Zoom casting and then I did another Zoom casting the second day. The second Zoom casting I did, I was asked point blank by the casting person, what do you know about birds, specifically exotic birds? We have a producer on the show that loves exotic birds and thinks it would be amazing to find a candidate or a contestant that knows a lot about birds and exotic birds. And so I happened to have a few weird bird facts shoved in my brain, having to do like birds of prey. So I just like pulled those few little things out I knew and told them, well, this is what I know, but I can learn more. And I was terrified that birds was going to be my category. So I had done a little bit of bird studying before going to Ireland, because we didn't find out our categories until the night before shooting started.
Yeah, that would be rough. Yeah. It doesn't leave you a lot of time to like figure it out at that point.
So I was loosely studying birds before I went, because I was really afraid that was going to be my category.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well study as much as you can. So, yeah. And certainly I think that studying paid off for you eventually having to go through that category. Now, circling back, as far as like, because you mentioned about the casting process, I this is something I really want to ask everybody, because it's so different for every person. But what was that for you?
I applied on Instagram. I saw a random posting come across my Instagram For You feed I was like, why not? My philosophy is you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, so why not try? So I sent it in, came home, told my husband. I was like, I did this thing. I don't think anything's going to come of it, so let's not even think about it. 2 weeks later, I got a text message from one of the casting people asking if I was still interested. I was like, absolutely. And they're like, can you be on a Zoom interview in like 2 days? I'm like, sure. It was my day off, so sat exactly where I'm sitting right now, threw some makeup on, put my hair in a ponytail, did a practice round quiz so they could see that I knew stuff, and passed it. So they were like, we want you to meet with another casting person tomorrow. So I was like, great. So the next day I did the second casting. Then I started getting emails with things that they were asking me to fill out, proof that I had my passport, stuff like that. And like 6 weeks after it all started, I was on a plane to Ireland.
That is crazy. I mean, I'm sure it had to be exciting though, obviously. Yep. You know, what was your favorite thing about the whole experience? I mean, there's probably a lot there, but I'm just curious for you.
Other than winning the money, it was the people. So I did not know what to expect. I didn't know if we were going to be sequestered from one another. I didn't know if they were going to like shove us all in a big house together, Big Brother style. Like, we had no idea if we would even be allowed to mingle or communicate with our fellow contestants. So when we got to the hotel, they're just like, here, you know, because a lot of us found each other in the airport. So we went through customs, and then people were standing there holding those little like signs with our names on them. And so you would find the people with the tablet with your name going across the screen. And so while we were waiting for those people, because not all of the drivers were there all at once, we were kind of like looking at each other and like, what are you here for? And we're like, well, what are you here for? They're like, is it a game show? And we're like, yeah, it's a game show. So we're in the airport. We're kind of making these little things. So myself, Crystal with a K, and Ford, we got stranded at the airport for like an extra 2.5 hours because they didn't send enough drivers. So it was just us three like chilling in the airport for an extra 2 hours talking about like what we were expecting, what was going to happen. So getting to the hotel and being allowed to just free mingle with people and go do whatever we wanted with each other was really, really unexpected. And so it really did kind of turn into an adult summer camp type vibe, because we would go do this super stressful, crazy thing all day. And then every night we would go down to the bar as soon as we got back from filming. Everyone would have a couple of drinks, and we'd all go to bed for a few hours and do it all over again. And so it really was. It was this amazing bonding experience where we became like this floor family. And, you know, we have a group chat with like 60 plus contestants in it, and it's popping off all day, every day. So, and then we also see each other when people are traveling across the country. They stop and they visit other contestants.
And that's awesome. Like, I cannot think of any other game show or reality show that I know of where that's happened with like such a large group of people. Yeah. You know, you have your little pod sometimes, but like that's quite a few people. And I think it's amazing. I mean, especially, you know, you with so many people with probably really diverse backgrounds and personalities, like to think that everybody can just be friendly with each other is something I'm constantly amazed by.
And some people's jobs, you know, they travel with their jobs. So when someone's somewhere for work, like my husband went to Philadelphia for work, he ended up hanging out with Tom, Lindsay, and Dino Mike. And so they took him on like a tour of Philly, and they took him to dinner. And Tom actually, because he's a tour guide for his job. If you're ever looking for a good tour, hit him up, go on his Instagram or Lindsay's Instagram, book a tour. He's amazing. He was doing a cross-country tour at the end of the summer with a bunch of kids from the UK. And it was like a camping tour. Like he was literally taking them camping across the country. And they came to San Antonio. So I actually got to see him and meet all these kids that he was taking on this cross-country tour. So that was super, super fun. And it was the first time we really got to spend time together after the elimination and everything. Because once you got eliminated, unless you made it to like the seventh episode, later in the seventh episode, you went home the next day. You were on a plane first thing the next morning and you were back home. So that was really fun. But yeah, it's been a really cool thing. It's been really, really neat.
That's awesome. Now, As far as, you know, kind of going back to the floor and kind of the end of your journey on the floor, first of all, I'm sure as anybody did that had one of the larger pieces of territory, it was probably in the back of your mind that like this is going to be a hill to climb because when you have a lot, the randomizer obviously is much more likely to hit on somebody next to you, and they are very likely to be tempted to go for that big piece of territory. So, I mean, was that something that you were thinking about having this large piece of territory that, like, yeah, people are probably going to come for me and it's going to be really hard to get to the end?
100%, because it completely destroyed my entire strategy. So my number one strategy was to make sure that everybody knew that the girl that had brunch ran a brunch restaurant. That was strategy number one. Strategy number two was when I got randomized, go for a single square that I knew I could take and sit on my two squares. Because the really cool thing is once you got randomized, you wouldn't get randomized again. You would have to wait for someone to come and pick you. So if I got randomized and I picked someone with one square and I held on to my category of expertise, which was brunch, then I felt very comfortable with that. Unfortunately, Tom had to go and be Mr. Superman and take all these squares like right away. And then I basically had to pick out of the categories that I was surrounded by at the time. It was the category that I knew I would do well in. The others I was kind of iffy on. I had studied one-hit wonders. I had studied rock stars. And then I was like, you know what? I'd be stupid not to go for the category that I know I can take without a shadow of a doubt. And so my hand was forced. My hand was forced and I had to just do it. And then I had like 11 squares. And I was like, oh man, this ruins everything. So then I just basically had to play defense. That's really all I was doing. I literally just sat down and played defense. I kept going back to the floor. I kept waiting for people to challenge me. Luckily, a lot of the categories that I had to battle in, I have experience in, because I've done a lot in my 25-year working career. Because from 2002 to 2018, I consistently worked 2 to 3 jobs at a time. So that's why I have so much experience.
For sure. I mean, that was something that was very noticeable that was helpful to you because not every, like, some people just have their couple of things that they know a lot about and don't really know anything outside of that. I mean, the crazy thing was is that eventually you went down on barbecue, but it wasn't because you didn't know things. It's just the luck of the draw. Like, you know, if you hesitate even that little bit, that could be the difference.
1 second. And I have to say that if I had to go out, I wanted to go out in a good battle, in a good duel where I knew stuff and I wasn't passing every single time. If I had had to battle in one-hit wonders, I would have looked like an idiot because when it came time and they did one-hit wonders, which is a category that I inherited that I knew I would do horribly in, I only knew like four of them. So I was very happy that I got to go down on a really strong battle instead of floundering.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm curious. I mean, I would think that after seeing Anne take down, I think she took Jasper down before you. And you know, Jasper was somebody that early on kind of established like, hey, I'm good at this. That you had to know that you were going up against somebody who would probably put up a very strong showing and would be a challenge.
100%. And I think she did an absolutely amazing job. The win was absolutely phenomenal. She deserved it. You know, I stumbled and that's what happens, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles. And, but you know, when you sign up for a show like it, you know that that is like the realest possibility. You know that the likelihood of you losing and going home is way greater than you winning. I mean, at least in my head. So, and the cool thing too is we didn't know about the secondary prize until we got there. We didn't know about the secondary prize until like the night before. So we all showed up thinking it's all or nothing. So having the secondary prize definitely factored in and helped me out personally because my entire goal going was to win enough for a car and a honeymoon. And I did it. So I was really, really happy with that.
Well, and that's the thing is that I think, like, you know, Rob Lowe as the host kept bringing it up constantly, like about going for the $20,000 or going for the long haul. And the odds of getting the $20,000 seemed to be a lot greater than winning in the end.
And it worked out for me, definitely. So, and I'll be thanking Rob Lowe when I'm in Europe in December on my honeymoon.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, you know, what honeymoon did you end up deciding to go with?
You're gonna do 13 days. Half of it's gonna be in Paris and in France, and half of it's going to be in Germany. Right at the beginning of December. I used to live in Germany for a number of months. My husband has been to Paris a couple of times. So he's never been to Germany. I've never been to Paris. I'm going to take him to Germany and show him the Christmas markets. If you're not familiar with this, every holiday season, these amazing Christmas markets pop up in all of the big cities in Germany. And they have something called Glühwein, which is a hot spiced wine beverage. And the way that it works is you go up, you get Glühwein, they serve it to you in a mug. It's 5 euro 50. And at the end of the day, you can give the mug back and get a 5 euro return, or you can keep the mug as a souvenir. And these are like really nice ceramic or glass mugs. And I had a whole collection of them when I lived there. And then when I moved back to America, they all got broken. So this is my way to replace all of my broken memories that I got shipped back to me. So I'm really, really excited about it. And we're gonna go to like Disneyland Paris and go to the Louvre and go see all the touristy stuff. So I'm really excited.
Well, that is really awesome. As somebody who has some German lineage, that's something that I'll have to remember if I ever decide to take a trip to Europe to check that out.
Old, but it's worth it. Heidelberg at Christmas time is incredible. Trier is amazing. We're going to do like Heidelberg, Cologne, Trier, and Rothenburg. Rothenburg is a medieval walled city that has a brick wall that goes completely around the city that you can go and walk on. So it's a really interesting experience. Very historical, very beautiful.
Awesome. Well, that is very cool. Now, you know, having done the floor experience, I mean, what did you think about it overall in terms of, you know, I mean, I thought it was great. I love this concept for a trivia show. It's not like more of the same. This is something that's so unique and different, and I really hope that there's a season two, because I just think that it's really cool.
I'll hope there's a season two. You know, we were the most streamed game show in Fox TV history. Like our view numbers, like every single week, we were just like, what is happening? Like it's not slowing down. It just kept getting bigger and bigger. And now new people are finding the show because of Hulu. And it's just this like thing. And I'm just like, I did not expect it to be that insanely popular. But I'm really excited it is. Don't get me wrong. We didn't know what to expect. But I loved every single moment of it. I think it is a phenomenal concept. And one of my favorite things about it is it's easy for people to play along with at home, which in trivia shows like Jeopardy and stuff like that, it's a little bit harder because it's very niche and you have to know such specific things. This is general knowledge trivia that anybody can do, anybody can participate with their friends at home. And that was what was really cool to me. And I think that's why it was so popular is people could relate to it because it wasn't an over the top expectation of being like the smartest person in the world. And I think that that really helped out a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And one other thing too that I'm curious about, because I mean, for anybody that's ever been on a TV show like this, how has it impacted your life since being on it? I mean, is it a thing that like you go out and people are like, "Hey, you were on that show that I saw." Like, is that something that happens to you?
So it does a little bit. So it was happening way more when the show was first airing, especially in the winter, because the jacket that I wore on the show is my favorite jacket that I own. I love that thing. Every single time I wore it out, they're like, "Hey, are you on the floor?" And I'm like, "Yeah." But I kind of been able to go under the radar a little bit since then because I cut my hair and I dyed it pink. So I don't exactly look exactly the same. I also got new glasses. So, but some people still will like, especially at work, people come in and they'll be like, "Wait a second, were you in the on that show? And I'm like, yeah, that was me. And then I did two different interviews here in San Antonio with two different morning shows. So people know me from that too. And they're like, hey, we saw you. Then we watched your show. And I'm like, thanks. I'm like, I appreciate it. So.
That's great. I mean, like I said, truly, I think people should watch it. I think that it's so cool. And like you said, the playing along aspect, I mean, I absolutely did that. And it was a fun thing for me to watch with my boyfriend and see which one of us could come up with the answers the fastest. So it's something you can do with the whole family, like, you know, challenge each other to see how quickly you can get things.
Well, the funny thing is I had a number of my friends reach out that have younger children and they were like, we love the show. My kids are obsessed with you. My kids are obsessed with the show. And every Tuesday night, it's like, okay, we're going to go watch Miss Stephanie now. Come on, mom and dad. And I just thought it was really great too, that I did a show where my friend's kids could be involved and they could watch and they could play, especially for like the animal categories, the food categories, anything with those types of photos. The kids are like, oh, it's a dolphin. That's an otter, you know, or that's an apple or, you know, a passion fruit or whatever. And so that really, really meant a lot to me that my friend's kids could be involved too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's family friendly entertainment, just like BattleBots, which is, you know, something that I enjoy, and have said, they would never let me on the floor and have BattleBots as a category because no one would ever possibly defeat me in that. So
that was one of the interesting things too, is going into the show, they send you a questionnaire of multiple categories and they're like, rank each thing in order from you feel like you know a lot, you're an expert in, to like, you don't know anything. And then at the end of the questionnaire, they're like, give us three additional topics that are not listed on here that you feel like you're an expert in. And all of the things that I listed, other than, because horror movies was not on the questionnaire, so I said horror movies is one of my things. The other two things, nobody would have ever battled me in. And so but they wanted to know unique things that you know a lot about. So when I had to give my little weird stuff that I know a lot about, they were like, probably not. So, because I have a lot of just bizarre knowledge, and some of my fandoms are very niche. So like my three categories that I told them that I knew a lot and that weren't listed were horror movies, the Amish and the Amish culture, and CCM artists of the 90s and 2000s, which is contemporary Christian music artists of the 90s and 2000s, because I actually know a lot of people in that industry. And so I was like, no one could take me down in that.
Yeah, because I think, I feel like this point was brought up by someone else, but like that ultimately I think they have to have categories that they feel like people at home can play along with, you know, and if people at home don't know anything about it, then it's not going to be probably as much fun for them to watch.
Exactly.
So I think that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, but that's also why I picked horror movies, is I was like, oh, everybody likes horror movies. So, and if you don't, there's a lot of people that do. So I wasn't surprised that it did turn out to be a category. I was just disappointed I didn't get it. So I was really happy that I got to battle in it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that is super cool. Well, you know, like I said, you were definitely one of the more memorable people on the show, at least for me. It was a fun time. So for anybody that's watching, if you haven't checked the floor out, I would definitely recommend it as something to watch, for sure. But for everybody that is watching, please make sure that you like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Let me know what you think about this content and these interviews. And, you know, thank you again to Stephanie, and we'll see everybody next time on the show.